John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Appreciate Brother John Haas helping out on the sound this morning. Appreciate all the music this morning. And thankful that Sister Julie is going to fill in for us this summer while Dwayne and Phyllis are away. So she's going to fill that void. Works out perfect. School's out. And so while the kids are away playing on summer vacation, then she she gets to fill in here. But anyhow, we're very thankful for everyone that helps in any way with the music here. And I like the music that we have here at Faith Baptist Church. Christ honoring, and everything's not all the same, and there's a little bit of variety, but it's not worldly, and it honors God, and that's what we want. That's what we strive for. So, John chapter 7 and verse 32. Verse 32. Lord willing, this evening we'll finish up John chapter 7 and get into John chapter 8 next week. But John chapter 7, verse 32. Just going to read a few verses this morning. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come? And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Christ is telling the Pharisees that soon he's going to leave this earth and go someplace else. And that when he does that, they'll look for him and he won't be there. They won't be able to find him. He says, yet a little while am I with you. Okay? Christ was around the age of 33, about 33, whenever he went to the cross. But he only spent about 3 years doing the work that the Father had called him to do. Now, when he was 12, he taught in the temple, but we don't see him again until he's around 30, and then he begins this earthly ministry of reconciling man unto himself. So, a little while. I want you to stop and think about that. A man who did most of what he did in the span of 3 years, turn this world upside down. Absolutely turn this world upside down. Here for about three years, 33 years, doing this work for about 3 years, and we're still talking about him a couple thousand years later. The world hasn't forgotten him. Oh, there are some who've never known him, and they want to forget him, and they want to get him out of everything, but we're still here talking about him. He's still being hated. A couple thousand years after he did his work here on earth, and he's still being hated. You know why? Because he is God, he is the Son of God, and though he's not here in the flesh, he's still alive, and he's still doing the work that he did back then. He's still saving sinners. The Holy Spirit still abides within believers. The Holy Spirit still convicts the world of sin. Here for just a short little time, You know, when you look back through history, there are people who were just on the scene for a little while. And maybe they left an impact. And then there are people who were around for a long time and didn't do anything. You know, we've had presidents who were in office for 4 years, 8 years, and we look back and say, boy, they just didn't do anything. And then some got a lot done. And then some got a lot done, but made a big mess. And you have people that, you know, we might look back and say, boy, they got all kinds of, we'll never forget them. We'll never forget. We'll have stories to tell about Lincoln and Washington and Teddy Roosevelt and all of this. But whoever talks about Taft? How often do you hear anybody talking about, I'm not saying they weren't important, but, you know, we don't talk much about Grover Cleveland a whole lot. I'm not saying people don't, but, you know, some stand out and some don't. Some are here for a long time. People are, through history, around for a long time and do a lot, around for a long time and do nothing, around for a short time and do a lot. None even come close to Jesus Christ. 3 years of earthly ministry turned the world upside down, and he's still being hated, but he's also still being loved. And he's still saving people and still changing lives. He told these Pharisees that there was going to be a time when he was going to leave and go back where he came from, which is one of the reasons why they hated him, because he told them he was God. But he's going to leave and he's going to go back where he came from. They're going to try to find him on the earth, and he isn't going to be there. That time has come and gone. And when I was reading this and preparing for this sermon, I was stirred, I was excited by a few things. That time has come and gone. And there's proof in the form of an empty tomb that that time has come and gone. That he has already, he said, I'm going to go back where I came from and you're not going to be able to find me. And his disciples came to this tomb, and Mary came to the tomb, and Martha came to this tomb, and where's he at? He's gone. They're worried somebody's going to, remember when he said he was going to go back where he came from? We better guard that body. They'll come and try to, see, they were afraid they would come and take his body away. And that it was some vast conspiracy that was taking place. He said, there's going to be a time when I leave here. You're going to look for me. You're not going to be able to find me. Can't you see the Pharisees going down to the tomb? The time has come and passed. He isn't there anymore. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. There's a place here, right here, on this earth where he briefly was laid, and now it's empty. Let me read it again. Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. I can't help but hear the words of the angel. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. He's gone. He's not there anymore. He told them, I'm going to be here for a little while, and then I'm going to go back where I came from. And within just a couple of years, they were able to go to a tomb. He's gone. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He isn't there. He isn't in that grave. He's gone back. And let me tell you what, church, you better be glad that that tomb is empty. We better be glad that that tomb is empty, because if it wasn't, if one element was missing, there's no salvation. You see, if he wasn't, if he hadn't been born, and then if he wasn't virgin born, then there's no salvation, because there's no sinless sacrifice. If he hadn't lived the perfect life, then there's no sinless sacrifice. If he hadn't gone to the cross and made the sacrifice, then we have no hope. Had he been born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and went to the cross and was laid in the tomb, but not got up, then we'd still be lost. We'd still have no hope. Had he not ascended back into heaven, then there wouldn't be anybody to intercede for us. You see, one element cannot be missing. If one element is missing, then we're not saved. Then we're still lost, and there is no hope. But every single element that was prophesied fell into place, and nothing is missing, and everything worked out exactly as God had planned it. And he did come, born of a virgin. He did live a sinless life. He did die for the sin of the world. He was laid in the grave. He did take the keys of hell from the devil. He did take those saints in paradise home with him. He did ascend back into heaven, and he is seated right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I, so we can be saved and we can know that we're saved. And because of that intercession, we can know that we will remain saved and we've been sealed. I want to preach to you this morning. It's kind of two sermons at once. Two sermons at once. I'm looking out at this church, and the nice thing about a church this size is you get to know people. You get to know people real well, and you get to hear people's testimonies. I believe that As far as I know, I'm looking at a group of people who confess or profess to have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, maybe there are a few that I haven't heard your specific testimony yet, but we have known one another long enough and there's been enough conversation that I could look out and say, I believe everybody in here would profess salvation. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I'm looking at a room full of saved people, because only you and God know if you really are saved. But I'm looking at a group of people that I believe would profess to be saved, okay? Now, only each individual and God knows for sure. We can only go by one another's testimonies, right? So maybe as I preach this morning, like I said, it's kind of two sermons together. As I preach about salvation to the lost, I don't know if there's anybody that needs to hear that. And maybe there is. Maybe there is somebody that needs to hear that. Maybe somebody will hear it online that needs to hear that. But even those of us that are redeemed still need to hear the preaching on salvation. We need to be reminded. It will keep us tender toward Him, and it will help us to better tell other people how to be saved. But I also want to preach concerning the life of the Christian and our service to Him, our service for Him. So I want to kind of preach two sermons here. Don't get scared, okay? You say he takes an hour to preach one, and now he's going to preach two. Well, I'm going to try to preach them side by side. When I was a kid, they used to have this cereal that was two different types of cereal in one box, and it was two bags in there. They both came together, okay? I'm going to try to give you the whole box this morning, okay? I'm going to open up both bags at once and try to give you the whole box. The first thing that we need to see this morning is this. For the lost person, don't put off salvation. And for the saved person, don't put off serving your God. Isaiah 55, turn there with me. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. God is speaking to the nation of Israel, but there's a principle here to be obeyed even today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That principle still remains today. To the lost person, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, the lost person that's still alive this morning, that's still breathing this morning, has an opportunity to put their faith in Jesus Christ, have their sins forgiven, and be on their way to heaven. But tomorrow may be too late. This evening may be too late for a number of reasons. An unexpected illness could take somebody. An auto accident could take somebody. Or God may just take his church home before this day is over. And maybe you won't make it through those 7 years of tribulation. People will be saved during that time. A lot of people don't understand that, but people will be saved during that time. I wouldn't put it off and try it. I wouldn't wait that long. But even at the end of that, there's going to be a time when the last person will be saved. God's not going to be saving people for eternity. One day this whole thing's going to wrap up and we're going to step into eternity with him, and the last person will have been saved and there'll not be another chance. But right now, people still have a chance. What does that mean for the saved person, though? Well, a couple of things. As we witness to people, we need to express to them the urgency. You might not have another chance. You might not have tomorrow. You might not. Listen, death is not prejudice. Death doesn't care about race. It doesn't care about your age. It doesn't care about your sex. It doesn't care about your position. Death doesn't care. Death does not care. It makes no distinction on any given day. People of every age will leave this world. I want to be sensitive. I don't want to be insensitive. But some of us will visit a funeral home tomorrow to help comfort one of our members because they lost a family member who was only, I believe, 66 years old. That's not old, folks. 66 years old. You know why? Because sickness and illness doesn't care. We prayed for a family this last week. And some of you know this family that had to lay their 2-year-old daughter down to rest. 2 years old. And then some people live so long, you start to call them Methuselah. Death doesn't care, does it? Does not care. The lost have no guarantee. Well, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in shape. I'm not talking about myself, this is an example. I told Sunday school about going camping this weekend and playing too much tennis and bike riding. I'm almost 40 years old. I haven't been on a bike in who knows how long. Notice I haven't moved much from this spot since I've gotten up here. Young, healthy, in shape. Got it all laid out in front of me. You know, when I was a kid, adults would say to us kids, Amy and I have talked about this, adults would say to us, you kids, you teenagers, just think you're going to live forever. You think nothing can ever kill you. You think nothing can ever... And we used to say, no, we don't. No, we don't. We don't really think that. Now that I'm older, I look back, we absolutely thought that. We wouldn't admit it, but that's exactly what we thought. I mean, we thought we had this big, long road, and we've got all of this time, and we didn't know we were going to blink, and we were going to have four kids, and then the oldest one is out of high school. We didn't know. Okay, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in shape. Doing good. I'm going to have some fun. Being young and healthy and in shape doesn't matter to an oncoming car. Doesn't matter to a train crossing the tracks. Doesn't matter to a falling beam at work. Can you guarantee me that you know exactly when you're going to die and how you're going to die? If not, you are not promised your next breath. Now maybe you're sitting here saying, but Pastor, I'm saved. I've taken care of that. Okay? As you witness to other people, express that urgency to them that today is the day. But how about this? Pastor, I've taken care of that. I tell people, okay, how does that truth that we don't know how much time we have left, we don't know when Christ is coming back, we don't know how long our health is going to last, how has that impacted our service for Jesus Christ? Well, I got stuff to do. I got a job to work. I've got kids to raise. When I'm retired, I'll serve God. No, you won't, because when you get tired, you're tired to serve God now. Or now I got to go back to work because I'm going out of my skull because I'm retired. Or I got to go back to work to pay for this. Or I didn't know this was going to happen or this was going to set in. You don't know, do you? How has the fact that we don't know how much time we have left impacted your service for Jesus Christ? Do you look at life and say, this could be my last day? Maybe I've got 30 years left. Maybe I've got 100 years left. I don't know. Maybe today's it. Maybe lunch is going to be my last meal. How has that impacted your service for Jesus Christ? Church, don't put it off any longer. Serve Him. Live for Him. Tell other people about Him. Work for Him. Because one day will be the last day. One day it will be final. One day it is going to be over. One day we are going to stand before Him. You know, when the Bible says, it tells us that time will be no more. I've explained this. It's not talking about there won't be any time, because eternity is a measurement of time and only God can exist out of time. But basically what it means is time's up. Time's not going to have an effect. This time has ended. Now we step into eternity. It's going to happen. How about this, Christian? That... you fill in the blank. Brother, sister, parent, cousin, neighbor, co-worker, whoever. That whoever that you know that isn't saved and you've been him-hauling. Kind of, well, I don't know if I ought to say anything. I'm trying to figure out how to tell them. If today were their last day, you will say to yourself, why didn't I just come out and tell them? Or one day it'll be your last day, and you might be thinking, why didn't I just tell them? Why didn't I just tell them? Why was I waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? Why didn't I just tell them how to be saved? This fact, in John chapter 7, Christ is talking about his earthly ministry and how it's going to end and he's going to go back to the Father. But he's talking about, hey, there's just a little span of time where he's here, okay? And that's what we're looking at this morning, is that now that that's already happened, now we're living in another dispensation that only has so much time. Okay, now that's already happened. He's gone back to the Father. But now we only have so much time before he comes back to get us. Now we only have so much time to tell other people how to be saved. What are we going to do with that time? For the lost, one day, that's it. Won't be another chance. They'll be out of this world, or we will have stepped into eternity. And well, for the saved, look, maybe you're not like me. I got saved when I was young, just before I turned 10 years old. But from then until now, you know, I'm pastoring a church now and was serving God before we came over here. But do you realize how many years I wasted? You realize that the bulk of my 20s were a waste, because I wasn't serving, or I was serving incorrectly in a false church. And what, just maybe I'm the only person here that looks back and just sees a bunch of wasted years and wasted opportunities. But I'm probably not. Probably all of us could look back and say, boy, what? Look at all the time I wasted. Even after I've been saved. You know, some of us could say, boy, look at all those years I wasn't saved. Well, what about those of us, even after we got saved, we look back and say, boy, look at all those years I just wasted. God could have been using me. I could have been serving him. Can't get those years back. I'll never get to see those people again. I'll never work those jobs and be around those coworkers again. Missed that opportunity. Missed it, missed it, missed it. I'm telling you, it grieves me. I hate it. And I can't do a thing about it, and you can't do a thing about it. But what we can do is make sure that it stops today, that it ends right here, that there's no more of this wasted opportunities and wasted time. You see, when you get in a hole, you can either climb out or you can just stay in the bottom of the hole. You ever had a job to do and it was such a big job and you just put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off, and well, as long as you keep putting it off, it's not going to get done. But what happens when you finally do it, when you finally get started? Okay, I can't do anything about this job being as big as it, but I can keep it from getting any worse. I can just get at it and get it done and get it. I am a... Ladies, listen. You have to understand, and most of you do, we will help you around the house. We will wash those dishes. But it is not in us. Okay? It really is a chore when we do it. We will do it. We will do it. But here's how we view it, okay? I'm just telling you, I despise washing a dish. I hate it. I know none of you women are crazy about it. But look, here's the difference that I've seen. All right? Guys, we'll look at it. Well, she asked me to do those dishes. I'll get to that right after lunch. After lunch. Get those. She wants me to do those. I told her I'd do those dishes. Mail just came. I better go get the mail. She told me to get those dishes. Oh, look, Matlock's on. Matlock's probably not even on anymore. Nobody even remembers Matlock. Okay? You know what you ladies do? You know what you ladies do? You go, ugh. Ugh. They got to get done, don't they? Now, we're like that with other things, all right? We're like that, say, when the oil light comes on, things like that. hey, that light's on again, that light's on again. Oh, you better stop and do that. Okay, it's not in us. It's just, we'll do it, it's just not in us. We're going to try to get out of it. You don't like doing it either, but there's just something about you ladies. You just get at it and get it done. And we got our stuff that we get at and get done as well. Football games and fishing and put that off. Look, the longer that you wait, the worse it gets, don't you? Doesn't it? The longer you wait, the longer you wait, the longer you wait, the longer you wait. Then you're doing it. And what, boy, I wish I hadn't put this off. Boy, I wish I hadn't put this off. Wish I would have cleaned this up or fixed this or taken care of this later. If I'd have just done it then. Is your life of Christian service like that? Are you looking back at wasted years? Are you looking at the fact that you're not serving the way that God wants you to serve? But you're saying, well, I'll get to it sometime. No, you won't. No, you won't. You know what we have to do? We got to get the sink cleaned out. We got to say they're not getting done if I don't get on it. We got to get down to the basement and flip the light on and say, just I'll start right here in this corner. It ain't getting done. We can look out at the weeds and look at the grass growing and say, oh boy, look at what a mess. Boy, I wish I would have kept that cut. Wish I would have trimmed that. Wish I would have taken care of those weeds. Or you can quit wishing and get out there and say, it's only going to get worse if I don't do something about it. Look, you only have so much time on this earth. You only have so much time to live for Christ. It's going to end one day. It doesn't matter if we have wasted years because we can't get them back, but we can do what we can not to waste anymore. We have to get a hold of the urgency and understand we're not going to live forever. There's not a person in here who would say, oh, I think I'm going to live forever. But we act like we're going to. We act like that's what we think. I've got plenty of time. I'll do that then. I'll do that later. I'll just wait. And then Well, listen. Big deal if the dishes pile up. Big deal if the basement gets cluttered. Big deal if the... Not that we shouldn't take care of those things. Big deal if the weeds... Don't live for God. Don't serve God. Don't tell other people about God. Big deal. Big deal. Because you're going to step into eternity one day, and that house isn't going to matter, and that yard isn't going to matter, and that car isn't going to matter. But what happened to the souls of men will matter. And you and I can have an impact on that. We got to get at it. We don't want to find ourselves quoting Jeremiah. The harvest has passed, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. We don't want to find ourselves saying, too late now. It's, oh, but I'm saved. Yeah, but what about service? Too late now. If we stood before Him and as each one of us walks up before the Lord to receive crowns, okay? And there was a big screen. It says, I'm going to show all of the works that you did for me. Let's just look at all the work that you did for me. Would yours be a feature film? Would yours be like the little 2-minute preview before the movie starts? Or would ours be so short it'd be over before you got back with the popcorn? Would you have to pull up a chair and say, get comfortable, I'm going to be here for a while? We're not boasting, we're not bragging. Or would He say, oh gee, I don't seem to have a reel on you. Oh wait, there's a 10-second video on YouTube. Now watch or you'll miss it. Come on, if Christ were to say, let's see how you spent your time for me, how long are you going to be standing there watching? Or will the people behind you be able to say, this won't take long. Don't worry, this won't take long. Or will the people behind you be able to say, we're going to be here forever. That's all that guy did was tell people how to be saved. That's all he did was serve God. That's all. What are we going to have to show? Christ isn't going to put up a screen, show what we did. We are going to receive crowns for our service, though. Are you going to be empty-handed? Now, what if he said, let's take a look at all the time that you spent not serving me. And after he's chained us to the floor so that we don't run away in embarrassment, we probably all would be able to sit down and get comfortable, wouldn't we? Look, Christ told these Pharisees, I'm going to leave here and go back where I came from. You're going to look for me and not be able to find me. That's already happened. But church, today, there's another ending that's coming. His earthly ministry ended, but he's still working through the church. But one day we're going to be done with this work. And I think that too often, we get excited about getting out of here and being done with this. Maybe we get a little too excited sometimes. Oh, I can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to be done with it. But are we really laboring? Are we really serving Him like we should be? One day, our opportunities are going to be gone. That'll be the end of it. James, we won't turn there, but James says in chapter 4 and 14 that our life is but a what? A vapor. You only get a little bit of time. And you have two things you need to do. The first one is you got to get saved. That's the most important thing. And then after you get saved, you need to live a life of service for Him so that other people can get saved. Have you got the first one taken care of? If you have, how you doing on the second one? And if you turn back and say, boy, not too good. You can either sit there and continue to say that week after week after week, or we can say, time to get at it. Time to get at it. Let me ask you this. Let's say you've been saved for years, and maybe you haven't really been serving. Oh, you've been praying, you've been reading, you've been going to church, you've been enjoying the fellowship, you've been all of that. We're talking about serving. You've not been serving, okay? You're not trying to be the husband God's called you to be. You're not trying to be the wife that God has called you to be. You're not trying to be the parent. You're not trying to be the witness. You're not trying to lead other people to Christ. You're not being the encouragement. You're not being the example. You're just kind of there. And churches are full of people that are just kind of there. You know if that description is for you or not. Okay? It's between you and God. You know that. I know it about me. You know it about you. And that's what matters, is we deal with this between us and God. Not us. Okay? Only you know. Well, let me ask you this. And I'm gonna close with this, and we'll finish this up tonight. If you've been saved, but you have a lot of wasted years behind you, let's say you have 1 year left, you get one more year, wouldn't it be better to go home having at least one good year, at least something to show for it, than to say, too late now, and go home having done nothing for Jesus Christ, having done nothing for Him, having not served Him at all, having gotten saved and then just waited for him to come back? Or what if we could go back and say, you know what, we go home and say, I wasted all those years, but at least I finally woke up and there at the end started to get something done. I'm talking to all different ages. Some in, we don't know who's going to go and who's going to go win. We all have different amounts of time. Some of us may have very little. Some of us may have years. I don't know. None of us know. But we all have what? Today. And we can all say, if I've wasted a bunch of time, I'm not going to waste any more. If we're just getting started out on this journey, we can say, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to learn from the mistakes of people around me. When my pastor says, you know what, I've got years of just wasted years that I regret, we can learn from that and say, I don't want to have to say that in a few years. I don't want to waste my time. Okay, that time of his earthly ministry has passed. He's already gone home. There's another ending coming. We're going to get out of here one day. Are you saved? Are you ready to go? And if you are you wasting the time that God has given you? Or do you see the urgency? We're told that if we seek him early, we'll find him. Don't put it off. We're told that our life is but a vapor. In Luke, we read of a man who had plenty, and he had barns and he filled them up, and he basically said, I'm just going to sit down and take it easy. I've got everything I need. Got everything I need. God said that man was a fool because that night his soul would be required of him. Got everything I need. Everything's in good shape. I'm doing all right. I'm going to sit back and take my leisure is basically what the man in Luke said. My barns are full. I'm just going to rest. Doing all right. Doing good. And God was going to come knocking on his door that night. Hey, your soul ready to go? Okay, maybe you've got that taken care of. My soul's ready to go. I'm ready. Well, you're going to stand before him one day and answer for the service that we've done? We're going to have something to show for that? Listen, we're all running out of time. We're all running out of time. I mean, from the, they don't smack babies anymore, but it's still a good illustration, isn't it? At least they didn't smack mine. Maybe they should have and let them know what they were in for when I took them home. From the minute that first whop, the sand starts running, doesn't it? That clock starts running down. Time starts running out. We hold those little babies and we think they got their whole life ahead of them, when actually what's happened is there's this clock that nobody knows how much time is on it, but that thing's ticking, isn't it? That thing's running. And I told a story, I won't tell it again, but I told a story in Sunday school this morning about Colin and how sneaky he was whenever he was little and how he was supposed to be doing his chores, and I turned the egg timer on, and when I went upstairs, I came back down to check on him, and he had his back to me, and he was picking up the timer, adding more minutes to it, and he sat it back down. And I've not taken my eyes off of him since. Okay? I don't trust him any further than I could throw Alex. I could throw Colin pretty easy. Look, Colin picked up that timer. I said, you got to have it done by this time. When I wasn't looking, he picked up that timer and added some time to it. Have any of us been able to figure out how to add time to our clock? Everybody tries, don't they? They try and they try and they try to figure out the secret. Ain't no secret. You got a date stamped on the bottom of your foot when you're born. That's when you're going out of here. You only get so much time, and we none of us get to see that clock. We just know it's God sees it, and that thing's running down, running down, running down, running down. And the longer it runs, the shorter the time gets. There's a time in your life where things kind of shift. And you've lived more years than what you have left. Amy and I were talking the other day. We're getting ready to celebrate 19 years. Tuesday will be 19 years. And when you take that time and a time in dating, we've spent more of our life together than we have apart. And all of you that have been married remember when that happened, probably. You remember. That's a neat thing, isn't it? You know, what's kind of sad is there's going to be a day where we're going to have less years than what we've already had. But it's not really sad because we're both saved and we're going to be together for eternity. But there's a shift, isn't there? There's a shift. You're born, maybe you've got all these years. There's a shift. One day, you're going to have less years left. And the thing is, we have no way of knowing. What are we going to do with that time? What have we done with that time? Are you ashamed of the answer? If you are, let that be in the past. Let's not be ashamed any longer. Let's do something about it. Here's what we need to take away from this. If we've strayed in our Christian service, don't wait to get back on track. If we've wasted a lot of years, don't waste anymore. Let the urgency that we just read of, the fact that people only have so much time, spur us to get out and preach the gospel to more people. And when we preach it to them, let us stress to them, this could be your only chance. One day, the chances will run out. All of our time is running out. We do not want to be, as I said, like Jeremiah when he said, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. That's awful final, isn't it? What have we done with our time? What will we do with the time that we have left? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. And I pray that you, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, would speak to every one of our hearts, each one of us as individuals, that you would show us the areas where we are lacking, that you would show us where we have slacked off, you would show us where we're not serving, and you would deal with us, God. I just pray that conviction would hit us so heavily this morning. You'd break our hearts and you'd humble us before you, Lord. And show us what we need to do, what we need to change, how we need to get busy. And help us not to waste any more time. And help us to realize that the lost only have so much time to get saved. And let's take the gospel out there. Help us to take the gospel to them. Lord, just work on our hearts this morning. We need you to do that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.